Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. I'm Brian Berkowitz from New York.
And this is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And thank you for tuning in for another great episode. I think everyone's going to like this one, a topic that gets discussed often. But before we get into it, Rich, how's it going out there? I guess summer's over. Fall is upon us.
No, in Sacramento, summer's not over till they tell you it's over. It's going to get hot again. And I've just been shooting weddings, a lot of weddings, loving my new Sony camera for shooting weddings. And by the way, I got two of them now and they're working absolutely great. But please, everybody know I am totally not affiliated with Sony. So I'm just doing it out of the love in my heart for my Switch. And I was able to sell most of my Nikon gear and I'm really excited about this change. But the weddings have been going great. And sports shooting's coming up. I've got a bunch of Spartan races I'm going to be shooting for. The World Championship in Lake Tahoe, we do. And we're going to be doing Pac Bell Park in San Francisco. And we got the big Sacramento Super Spartan race. So that's going to be
the World Championship
Spartan
race, huh?
That's in Tahoe every year. I think we're doing it in October and November. And one year we had a lightning storms and hail. One year we had snow. One year we had 60-mile-an-hour winds on top of Squaw Valley Mountain Peak. And it's always exciting, but it is so much fun to do. And I'm taking between 10 and 15, 18,000 images a day and ripping them up and loving it, though. I just love doing
it. I think shooting that would make me feel worthless and completely out of shape watching all these people.
I tell people I do 20 Spartans a year, but I don't run any of them. So,
hey, look, you know what? A couple of years back, I did a Tough Mudder, but I was in a lot better shape. That wasn't after 10 years in marriage and two kids. So,
yeah. How's your week going? What's up?
It's good. You know, things are slowing down a little bit. This August was an insane month for me. Probably the best month I've ever had in my business. So knock on wood, things are looking up. But I know it's not going to last like that forever. September slowed down a little bit. But, you know, I'm going to keep grinding out till it really slows down. I think in New York here, it's going to be about mid to end of October, you know, till it gets really slow. So I'm trying to milk it as much as I can while I still have it.
Well, I'll tell you one trick I do, and it really helps me out, is I will go through, and I did this yesterday, I will go through last year's calendar and the year before calendar and the year before calendar, and I'll just look at my statistics, how busy was I. So mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm not busy, I will look back going, oh, I wasn't busy last year, or I was busy last year. So kind of give it
everything. Yeah, you know what? I don't mind some of the downtime, though, because the truth is from, I guess, November till March, till it starts picking up, that's when I sit down and I really focus on the marketing side of my business. And, you know, for those 4 months every winter, I set myself a marketing goal where, you know, whether it's, you know, be number one on Google or this and that, you know, I set a goal for myself and I'll work, you know, the whole winter while it's slow on the shoot wise to get everything done from the marketing standpoint, whether it's updating my portfolio on my website, because during busy season, we all know no one has a chance to update their portfolio at all. So during the slow time, I do all that stuff, take care of my website. I kind of get everything from the internally done that I, you know, I guess don't do, or, you know, during the busy season, I kind of just put it by the wayside. Yeah. So, you know, definitely if you are slow in the winter, like I am here in New York, take advantage and do all the internal stuff that needs to be done. It's a part of all of our businesses. Yeah.
And I want to say that I'm really, I know there's been talk in the groups and people are always wanting to know about the business side of this. So I think, Brian, we should do a few podcasts and maybe invite some people that have small businesses and maybe medium-sized businesses and large businesses and to see what suggestions they do or just get more into the business side of this. So I'm looking forward to those talks too.
Sure. Yeah. I have somebody in mind actually out here in New York mm-hmm. who runs a pretty successful big real estate photography company that I work with every so often. Yeah. So I'm going to see if I can get him on. And he has, I think, 8 or 9 or 10 full-time photographers working for him. So I guess in our industry, that would be considered a big business. But I will try to get him on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll get some good stuff coming up. So what we got today, Brian?
We have another Ask the Guys, another fantastic one, a topic that gets covered very often, and people are very, very opinionated on it frequently. Yeah, I mean, I guess people are opinionated on every topic on these Facebook groups. But nevertheless, we have a question from Keith, and without further ado, I will play it.
Hi, guys. I really enjoy your podcast, and I appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge. I have a lot of questions, but I'll just ask two for now. One is, why does HDR get such a bad rap? I have seen, heard, and read a few photographers mentioning it in a demeaning way, as if it were something to be avoided by anyone who calls themselves a professional. Okay, but why? They never explain why it is to be avoided. I'm new to photography. I was fortunate to get hired to build, to shoot builder spec homes using only HDR. And I'm receiving only compliments from the builders. They love it. So I just don't get it. Number two is I started out in this career path about a year ago wanting to do real estate video. And so I bought a used Panasonic GH4 for this purpose. But my first real opportunity for paid work is to do photography. And I'm finding that the GH4 takes great pictures. I know that its strength is video, but is it inferior to Sony, Canon, and Nikon for photography? If I want to continue doing real estate photography, should I get a different camera and just keep the GH4 for video? Well, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Wow, that is a great question, and I'm going to reserve myself and let you, Brian, go into it while I think of some really good stuff to talk about. With both why HDR is good or bad, or why it has a bad rap, and also how you feel about the video, the camera that you want to use for stills. But first, want to bring in that was Keith Mitchell, and thank you so much, Keith, for your very well put question. And I'm going to throw this right in your court, Brian, and I want you to start off. Answer away.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should both answer the HDR question first and then move on to the second one. But HDR, that is a very good...
What's that mean? What does HDR stand for?
High dynamic range. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because all it means is an image with high dynamic range. And HDR somehow or another over the course of time got associated with circus-like images. And... I don't know how HDR got a really bad stigma, I guess, if you can call it, attached to it. But HDR is not bad. I don't think, at least, or my opinion is
sometimes,
at least HDR is not bad.
You got to say sometimes it's not bad. Sometimes it is bad, but the same thing.
Well,
with
no, I think the method of shooting HDR is not bad. Mm-hmm. Now, do some people produce bad HDR results? 100%.
Yeah.
But the concept of HDR and shooting using high dynamic range images to produce your final image all ambient is not bad at all. And I do it very often. I do it on a lot of my shoots. Not so much in my real estate. I mean, I have actually a lot of my commercial real estate jobs in the city, and it's happening more and more in the city being Manhattan, where there's wall-to-wall floor-to-ceiling windows. They want me to just shoot all natural light. They want to show that off, you know. They don't want me to bring flashes in there. So for that, I'm shooting all bracketed images, and you can theoretically call it HDR, and I'm hand-blending it, and I'm not producing these circus-like results, and... there's no reason to say that I did not shoot this HDR. I mean, I shot a bracketed shot and I went in and I, produced my final image using exposure blending. So, you know, I think the term HDR kind of got associated with these very overly saturated results you get from Photomatics or one of these other companies that produce the software. But I don't think HDR is bad. And I think producing good, you know, you can produce good results using high dynamic range photography as a technique. You can go to my Instagram page. It's going to be hard for somebody to tell which ones were shot using, you know, lighting, or which ones were shot using, I guess you can call it HDR or bracketed shots, which were all hand blended. But yeah, it did get a bad stigma. I don't know why, but it's not a bad thing. And, you know, to answer Q's question, I don't think, especially if your client wants it, I don't think you should shy away from shooting that if that's what your client wants. If your client wants that and he's happy with the results you're producing, then go ahead. If you're getting paid for your shoots, then you're professional. And for someone to say, if you shoot HDR, you're not a professional photographer, I don't think that makes sense. You know, if you're a photographer that goes out and you get paid for your work, you're a professional photographer. Even if your work is bad, you're still a professional photographer. You might not be a good professional photographer, but you're a professional photographer. So I think at the end of the day, you know, you do what's best for you. Everyone has their own methods. Everyone has their own techniques. You know, even on a lot of my designer shoots, and I've been posting a few of these lately. I don't know if you've seen these, Rich. A lot of my designer shoots, I'll shoot 5 bracketed shots, hand blended. And then what I'll do is I'll light paint with a hot light or a continuous light to give them more natural look than flash. And, you know, the base for that shot is a hand blended 5 bracket shot, which then I obviously light paint, so it looks like there's light added afterwards 100%. But the base for that is not a flash shot. It's a ambient 5 bracket exposure blended shot. I do it all by hand, but it's all blended that way.
But Brian, let me just jump in here 1 second. I think we're missing a point. I think that really the distinction to me in HDR is not masking in ambient exposures. It is using a program that does, and I'm not going to get into the technicals because I'm not the technical guy to do this, but I urge anybody that wants to learn about this to start doing research, but look up tone mapping and look up the programs. I find that if you let a program do everything for you, do it, you put all your images in there, it does what it does and it spits out. That to me is HDR, and that is what's so hard to keep quality control on. I think what you're doing is, sometimes you can get great images that way using a program like Photomatics or like Infuse, but I think that what you're talking about is something completely different, but I could be wrong.
Well, look, I've used Infuse a lot and I still use it occasionally now. You know, it's a great, I used it like 2 days ago or 3 days ago for a shoot. I think Infuse is better than a program like Photomatix because it gives you a lot more natural results. And, you know, when you finish using Infuse and you get these images, they're not obviously ready to send off to a client. They're all very flat and you have to add your own tweaks and have your own presets or whatever it is. But I think what I'm saying is, I know I'm not going to change the philosophy of an entire industry or anything like that, but, you know, HDR imaging is just a technique of using a wide dynamic range of shots to produce your final result. Mm-hmm. And somehow that got associated with using these softwares. You know, I just, while I was talking, I just literally Googled HDR, and this is what popped up as a definition of HDR. High dynamic range imaging is a high dynamic range technique used in imaging and photography to reproduce a greater dynamic range of luminosity than is possible with standard digital imaging or photographic techniques. Doesn't say anything about using software to automatically infuse images together.
But it's associated with digital, but they were doing doing HDR in film days too.
Sure.
Same thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think HDR I think it got this bad stigma with this software. And look, a lot of these softwares do produce really, really awful results. And yes, is it quick and easy on a job to, you know, go out, shoot a quick auto bracket, go home, throw it all into Photomatix and send it to your clients? sure. And if your clients are okay with that and you're able to make a living doing that, then by all means, all the power to you. Who am I to judge how anybody else makes a living? But it's going to, and this has come up a lot, it's going to be hard to grow and start, you know, if you're happy doing, you know, 15, 20 of these real estate shoots a week and you're content, then go ahead and do it if HDR is working. But if you want to eventually get into the higher paying design jobs and architectural jobs, obviously producing these results with one of these auto softwares is probably not going to work out great for you in the long run.
Sometimes it works out great. Other times it doesn't. I left HDR because, and I used to do HDR, I couldn't get consistent colors and consistent looking images, quality of images, because some situations I just couldn't,
Wait, let's take a step back a second, Rich. Weren't you a Photomatics ambassador / HDR educator?
Okay.
Back in the day?
My history was, okay. I am not the anti-HDR schnob that people think I am. I started off in my digital photography career and I learned this thing called HDR, and I started working with Photomatics, and I thought it was the second coming of Mr. You know, Jesus Christ. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And people even know that I said that that's the answer to, you know, to real estate photography. I was all in. I was being sponsored by, I wasn't an ambassador, but I was given product codes and things for my workshop attendees to do HDR. But I was doing more, most of it was really just for fine art. And that fine art, I look back and it was breaking all the rules, and it really, really was not quite over the top, but it was very, very HDR-ish.
And, it was not too fine.
Not too fine, but it was what it was. And I was really into that. And then I incorporated it into real estate photography. And when I started, I was so excited. But the thing was, I didn't know what I didn't know. All my colors were not correct. All of my, a gray wall, a tan wall could change 5 different shades of gray. And it looked like I was have smoke all over the walls, and I had terrible views. And then I started realizing, especially doing designer shoots, I realized, oh my gosh, I've got to make these colors look right. And where I would not take a lot of time on site, I was in a hole in editing, and I would spend hours and hours trying to dig myself out. And I finally came to the conclusion, I've got to figure out something. And then I learned everybody in the PFRE group on Flickr was using lights. So I said, I got to learn, because this HDR is not working out for me now. So that's where I came from. And the reason I moved was because I understood that in certain situations, you could shoot some houses with an iPhone, but I found that I could not get consistent results without using lights 100% of the time. So that's why I ended up going to lighting. And I kind of got down on people for HDR. And that's my own hang up. And I apologize to anybody if I've said that, but I'm a little more open to it now. And I've actually been doing a little bit of in-camera HDR with my Sonys. And I think that there are some people, there was a guy on Flickr, do you remember? I think his name is Colin Cadle, Colin Cundle.
You've told me about
England.
Him, yes.
He's the best. He was the master. And Colin, if you look him up, I wish I could remember his last name correctly. I apologize, Colin, but he would make magic. And he was actually going to do a video, and I was so excited to learn, but he never did. And then there's people like Paula Cheese. And Paula Cheese, if you're out there, I've always commented that your work is 100% consistent and it's all HDR. And I think you use Photomatics, but you've got it down, girl. And I'm really impressed with that. So I think if it's working for you, go with it. But I think a big thing, Keith, is to really just be aware, are you recreating real colors? Because what I teach and what I'm into is you've got to use lights to overpower the ambient to kill that color cast from the tungsten, from the fluorescent, the blue from the fluorescent, the blue from outside, the tungsten from this light, the halogen from this light. You got to overpower all that and to get your colors right. Or I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that some people do it with HDR. I'm just not the right person to do that.
Do you ever use any of the software nowadays at all or none?
I will occasionally. I have not plugged in Photomatix for a couple of years, and I have used Infuse GUI, which is a shareware. I think it's called shareware, and you can use it as a plugin for Lightroom, and it's HDR. So it is doing stuff for you, but it's very, very non-intrusive, and it really looks nice. And it's unbelievably how fast it is. Literally, it takes 1 to 2 seconds to infuse 5 bracket images. So you can do that. And I have been doing in-camera HDR with my A7 III. Let's say I'm up in an attic and I've got to shoot it and it's all wood and I don't have the time to bring up lights up the steps of the attic. I shot HDR, in-camera HDR, and it looks really good. And I got that technique from Wayne Capilli. And Wayne got me into all the things I get into. He's a great guy to follow. But it has been working, and I will be doing more with it. But I found I've been doing it with my twilight shots, trying to do my normal twilight single images, and then doing an HDR. And it just isn't coming out the what I like. So I'm just not, it ain't for me, but I'm still going to keep trying it.
Yeah, you know what? You keep going at it until you find what works.
We're going to bring on one or two guests that are HDR aficionados. I might even be able to get Colin in England if he's still doing it. I'll reach out to him because his work was absolutely amazing. So I will
I'd love to hear because, as I mentioned,
You know who it is, and I'll send you the website so you can put it on the show notes there, Brian.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, I'd love to see it because, as I mentioned, I do shoot a lot of that for a lot of my commercial real estate. I shoot bi-bracketed, and some of them, depending on how quick of a turnaround time I need, I do use Infuse. So I am using these automated processes. But like I said, when it spits it out of Infuse and it's done, we're not even close to done. There's still a lot of work that I have to do to get it looking like a professional-looking real estate image and not,
up to everything you put out has to have some assembly look similar. It's your brand and it's really important. Exactly. And I want to say, I see a lot of people lately, doing, exteriors, and they figure they're doing lighting inside, but they're still doing HDR outside. And I'm like, it's killing the beauty of your shot. I'm saying you can pull whatever you need out of a single image or possibly two images done properly, but no reason to do HDR for exteriors. I think just shadows, there are shadows in life, and you can make it look really good. So
no, for sure. I think and that's the biggest thing is with HDR. I think that's the most obvious way you can tell when an image is HDR is when there's no real true shadows, when they're just brought up so much that even the shadows are the same exposure as everything else. And that's like the first most obvious sign that this was shot HDR.
And it looks, a lot of times, I actually commented on a few shots in the groups today. One guy, I forget who it was, but his shots were just hazy. They were muddy and hazy. And that's exactly what you were talking about. No shadows. And it's not for me. Let's just say that. But I know there are some agents that love HDR. And I actually had one agent years ago, she would call it, those funny photos, those real she called them funny photos. And the other one is Kincaid. I think that can be at times at the beginning I thought that was a compliment, but I ended up getting to the point where it was kind of a real rip, saying your images are looking like Thomas Kincaid. And it's true, it was. And it's something that now I know what I know, and now I've looked back going, it didn't work for me. And I cringe at some of the old stuff I did. I did extreme HDR, and I could say a word that you just have to bleep out, but I promise I'm not going to say it. I think
it's two words.
It starts with a C. And I just want to say that, you know what, if it works for you, do it. And also, you know, what you're doing, Brian, what you're doing in hand blending ambient images. I do that all the time, especially on really, really big, big shoots. If I'm shooting a government building or something where I just can't light it, forget it. I can't even do a Mike Kelly or a Sam Chen on there. I'm not even going to pop flashes off. I'm just going to go take a good bracket. But the thing is, most of the times, those kind of shoots and your designer shoots you're doing, Brian, they probably have really good lighting. They probably have dimmers. They probably have a wonderful lighting color palette. So it's something a little bit different than just going into doing a really bad listing and you've got to shoot it with HDR with five different light color temperatures in the room. So, you know, two different things.
No, for sure. All right. Well, I hope that gives people... excuse me, some insight. Oh,
wait, we got one more question from Keith.
Yeah, I was just closing out the HDR talk. Oh, but yeah, anyway, going into the GH4, which is what he asked about, to tell you the truth, and I think you would agree with me, Rich, I don't use Panasonic. I don't know much about it. I don't use the GH4. I never have, or may have a couple of years back on a small video shoot, which is kind of what he referenced as far as using it for video. But you know, I know you spoke dozens and dozens of times about using your A6000, which isn't, you know, the top of the line camera for real estate shoots. So, I mean, talk to us about using the A6000. And my point in this is not that, you know, not for you to promote the A6000, but it doesn't have to be a Canon Mark IV or an A7 III or, you know, I guess a Nikon D4. It doesn't have to be that to go out and produce a good image.
Absolutely. And I'm well known for, again, Wayne got me into shooting Sony, and I started with the A6000. I bought it for $349, I think, open box from Best Buy. And it is a crop sensor. It is 24 megapixels. It is one thing it doesn't do well is high ISO above, like, I might go to 800. But, you know, but the good thing is, this kind of photography, you don't really need that. You don't need, because we're not shooting high ISO. The A6000 is my day-to-day real estate photography camera. I shot it all day yesterday. I did use my Sony A7 III with a tilt shift, and I even have a tilt shift adapter for my A6000. But it doesn't make a difference. I don't think you will see the difference. And I'm not using it because I'm trying to make a point going, oh, I can shoot real estate with anything. I love the camera, and I'm also using an inexpensive Samyang lens. Someone asked me today and sent me an, is this the right lens? It's for under $300. I think it's $279 now. And it's a great lens, and I use them because it's light, it's easy, it's cheap, and it's fast, and it's real fast tethering. I really love the A6000. So in answer to your question, where I know the GH4 is a renowned video camera, but I can't tell you why with the attributes that make it a great video camera. But I will say that I don't see any reason not to use that camera for your stills, because it's not going to make a huge difference. I think also I'm using lighting, and maybe I don't have to get as much dynamic range as another camera, like a top of the line, like my A7 III might have better dynamic range, but I don't think it really comes into play with my day-to-day real estate photography. So I say go with what you've got. I would investigate it, but I don't think you need to go to a full frame whatsoever. I love my A6000. It's a crop camera, and I love it, and I actually like it better because it's got a little more depth of field. You know, I can shoot at 7.1, and everything. I never have to focus my Samyang lens. I put it just shy of infinity. I have a piece of tape on it, and it's f7.1. Everything from 3 feet to infinity is in focus, and I never change focus ever on that lens. So it's not the camera, it's your technique. And I think there are a lot of things, like maybe a better lens you could get. Certainly better, you know, better lenses. But I think in this game, real estate, I'm not talking designer, I'm not talking also, and I shoot all my twilights with my A6000. I'm shooting all my pole photography with it. And I'm not shooting much video, but I know it's a tolerable video camera. But this was about stills, and I think I would say go with your GH4. Put it out there to the groups too, and ask other people what they think. But there's no reason you've got to get the cutting edge, top of the line camera for real estate photography.
100%. And there's no way to really know how far you can push that camera until you go out and push that camera. You know, until you get to that point where you say, you know, use it until you get to that point where you say, okay, this camera will not do it for me anymore. But don't upgrade your camera just because everyone else has better cameras. You know, I know we were talking earlier today, Rich, and I said I ran out of time on my shoots, but I wanted to take my Canon M5 mirrorless, which I have, which is a, you know, a piece of crap $800 Canon mirrorless camera, which I use for my family. And I brought it with me today. I wanted to shoot a couple of real estate images on it just to show that, you know, it's not really the camera. I mean, obviously the camera plays part of it, but it, you know, a lot of it is the technique and your lighting and everything else. I just ran out of time and just needed to get home after a long day. But yeah, you know, go out and shoot with it and keep shooting with it until you get to that point where you know you have to upgrade. And that point will come when you know, all right, you know, this camera is not cutting it for me. I need to start producing better results and booking better jobs, i.e. maybe designer shoots or architectural shoots, then you might say, okay, I need to go and upgrade the camera. But, you know, start with what you have and go from there and just practice. It, you know, if you can master what you're doing with the GH4, it's only going to make your job easier when you get a better camera. So,
yeah, you could put my shots from my Nikons next to the shots from my Sony a7 III and the A6000, and I really would be hard pressed for anybody to see any difference other than maybe in the dark, in the shadows, in the dark where you're dealing with noise. But for me, it's much more a product of function. I just like the A6000 because it's so easy to use. It's so, the every little part about it, it's just really easy, much easier than my A7 III. And it's just something I've really come to enjoy. So,
yeah, somebody said it in one of the groups on a comment recently. I forgot who it was, but it might have been our good friend Chris Miller. So if it was you, Chris, thank you. And if it wasn't, I'm giving you credit for somebody else. I apologize. but someone said, if you put, you know, an image together from a, you know, a Nikon D4 or, you know, a Canon Mark IV or, you know, your Sony A6000, most probably no one's going to be able to tell the difference at the end of the day, what was shot with what.
But with that said, I'm not going to go use my A6000 for a wedding or for sports or basically, I mean, I'll take it on a trip. Actually, I took my A6000. It was, in hindsight, I wish I didn't, but I did it on a point. I brought my A6000 with my two kit lenses to Africa as my only camera because I was not prepared to bring the big guns, my 400 or my 300. And I did. And I regret it a little bit, mainly because the lenses were the kit lenses and kind of crappy. But you can use it for travel, for family, all kinds of things. Just don't expect to be shooting at ISO 3200. My A7 III, I can shoot at ISO 20,000. I've used wedding shots now at 20,000. You know, so you just got to use it where you want to use it.
Yeah, but weddings are different. I don't see many circumstances in real estate where someone has to shoot higher than 2000 ISO or 2500 ISO.
Never.
Exactly.
Never. Awesome.
All right, Keith. Well, thank you for your double question we had this week. Mm-hmm. And I think Keith's website is higherviewsimaging.com. If anyone wants to check him out, please go ahead and check out Keith Mitchell's work.
Yeah. And when you guys, all you out there, come on, start calling in with your Ask the Guys questions. And you can promote your website, you know, to have people check it out if you have a blog. And that's what it's all about. Just pass it around.
Awesome. Well, Rich, it's been a pleasure again, like always.
Pleasure's all mine, Mr. Berkowitz.
Yes. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening.
Yes. And thank you all, too. And you have a wonderful dog days of summer. And, you know, it's going to go by real quick. So enjoy it and get out there and shoot smarter, shoot faster, make more money, shoot better things and spend more time with your family or just go buy new equipment. It's fun.
Whatever works for you.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.